Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com.
What if investing in each other could change the world? I'm Joel Skeen with BizRadio.us, and this is the Mindful Marketplace. Welcome back, everybody, on BizRadio US here. This is Joel Skeen, host of the Mindful Marketplace. If this is your first time on the program, welcome. Here on this program, we talk to the entrepreneurs, advisors, industry leaders, investors, and economic experts who are not only solving a market problem to make a profit, but are also solving a social problem to make an impact. It's where we learn how to connect our money and our businesses to our values, our community, and ourselves. Today, I'm going to be talking with the wonderful Robertson Work. He is the author of several books, including A Compassionate Civilization, Spirit, Society, Self, Serving People and Planet, and The Critical Decade, 2020 to 2019. He is also an activist here in Western North Carolina, and I'm excited for us to all get to learn from him. But first, got to hit on the balance sheet, our assets, liabilities, debts, and investments. So first off, in the assets column, I want to talk a little bit about social enterprise. So there's a new Harvard Business School program. Harvard Business School has created a social enterprise accelerator. This program is offered to students in the summer between their first and second year, and it supports these student founders in the development of their social impact startup businesses. During the summer of 2023, 11 student founders benefited from social entrepreneurship workshops, as well as the insights and feedback from their cohort. The first round included a startup to tackle product accessibility for the disabled community. It also included a venture that addresses the accessibility and affordability of solar-powered irrigation for Indian farmers. There was also a journey to establish Europe's inaugural neobank tailored exclusively for migrants, and a venture that aims to increase menstrual health literacy in China through digital media and online education. In the liabilities column, right here, I'm going to put the boom and bust market, and that is getting ready to bust again. A new article in Fortune magazine states that, quote, when everyone expects a soft landing, brace for impact. That's the lesson of recent economic history, and it's an uncomfortable one for the U.S. right now, end quote. The article states six reasons why the economy is headed for a recession, including government shutdown, global slump, high yield curve of higher for longer borrowing costs, spike in oil prices, student bills picking back up, and striking workers across the country. It says that the bottom line is that history and data suggest that the consensus has gotten a little too complacent, just as it did before every U.S. downturn in the past four decades. If you want to protect your retirement accounts and other assets against any type of loss, including market downturn, visit mindfulmarketplaceshow.com and send me an email under the contact page. Into the debts column. Debts, the IMF posted a recent blog stating that these higher for longer interest rates that we just mentioned in the liabilities column are squeezing more borrowers. The elevated inflation that regular people are facing means that central banks may keep policy rates higher in a way that stretches the capacity of borrowers to repay their debt. At the same time, student loan bills are coming due, and after most Americans had some much needed relief during the last few years following the COVID-19 pandemic. In order to help combat the debt crisis, the Mindful Marketplace has partnered with local financial tech company Quility to provide all of our listeners with a free customized report on how you can best eliminate your personal or business debt. So you can get control of your debt today and go to mindfulmarketplaceshow.com and click on the Eliminate Debt tab to get your free report. Last column is investments. So if you're serious about moving your money out of Wall Street, and you know, I think you should be, the Main Street Journal has made it easier for you. at mainstreetjournal.org, you'll find a regularly updated list of new local investment opportunities across the U.S. The Main Street Journal is doing the work for you by scanning crowdfunding portals, local funds, and other opportunities, listing them all in one place. The list is growing, but there are already dozens of local investment opportunities listed at mainstreetjournal.org. So check it out and see how you can move your money from Wall Street to Main Street. All right. I am excited to get to talk to our guest today, Robertson. He was actually one of the first guests that we had on the show way back over a year ago, and I'm excited to have him back on today. Robertson, welcome back to the Mindful Marketplace.
Yes. Thank you, Joel. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, really happy to have you back here. You know, I know you are known mostly, as I said, as an author. You've written several books throughout your career, but I know that that's not exactly where you started. And I want to dig in a little bit on some of the topics of your book and some of the things you've been posting on your blog. But first, could you give our listeners a little background as to your life and the work that you've done?
Oh, well, thanks. Yes, After undergrad and grad school, I worked with a nonprofit, the Institute of Cultural Affairs. We were doing community development and organizational development and leadership development in different countries around the world. So I got to work in first Malaysia, then South Korea, and then Jamaica and Venezuela, and working in slums and squatter settlements and villages, sort of grassroots development. So I learned so much. That was about 20 years. I learned so much from the local people doing that. Then I shifted. I was invited to work with the United Nations Development Program at the policy level, giving policy advice to countries on local governance, decentralized governance, local development. So I was based in New York at UN headquarters, really enjoyed that for 16 years. I was giving advice to countries to strengthen programs and mostly cities and slums. And then I shifted again. I retired from UNDP and became a consultant. I consulted a lot with different international organizations. And I started teaching grad school at New York University, Wagner Graduate School of Public Service. Really enjoyed that. Students from all over the world. I did that for 10 years, along with consulting. And then in 2017, I began getting my books published, because before I had contributed to 11 books with other groups. But in 2017, my first book came out, as you said, Compassionate Civilization, The Urgency of Sustainable Development and Mindful Activism. And then my autobiography, Serving People and Planet, and then a book of poetry, Earthling Love, a book of speeches, The Critical Decade, the one you mentioned, 2020 to 2029, because I think we are in the critical decade of climate chaos, rising fascism, and other issues we can talk about later. And in my final book, Society, Spirit, Self, a book of essays. So I really enjoyed sharing those. And now my writing is more on Substack and social media, and continuing with podcasts like this one. So I think that's enough about me. We can talk more about the books and the activism and things as you think we need to.
Yeah, you know, in the lead into your first book, there's you've talked a little bit about how our generation faces several of these challenges. You know, we face, you mentioned several of them there over this decade, and you call this the critical decade. And you also say that some believe that this will lead into a negative environment, you know, where, you mentioned, rise of, more authoritarian type governments, damage to the environment, just a general dystopian feel of what a lot of us feel that we might be living in some days when we wake up. And you've spent, as you mentioned, decades working in poverty-stricken villages and developing countries, but you still believe in a way that hope is not lost. Could you talk to me a little bit about where that hope comes from?
Yes, thank you. Very, very important. Yes. Yeah, I don't prescribe to gloom and doom, even though challenges challenges, as you said, are massive: of climate chaos, misogyny, systemic poverty, oligarchy, bigotry, warfare, as we are now seeing again in the Middle East. And now the unregulated artificial intelligence and nuclear energy and bioengineering. But yes, we human beings have always faced crises, although I think this is the big one. I think we've never as a species faced the kind of crises we're now facing today. So I think, you know, if you give up, then you're not going to do anything. Or if you think everything's going to be okay, you're not going to do anything. So I believe it depends on what you and I do, Joel, you know. So that's why I'm still an activist in getting out the vote for progressive candidates and working locally. And we'll talk more about that here in this Swannanoa watershed. So I think it's about deciding to live life and do everything you can now, you know, because with your words and deeds, caring for others, caring for institutions. And even some of my friends are saying, oh, no, it's all over. You know, climate change is going to wipe out the human race. And, you know, maybe not. I think the issue is, again, what do you and I do now to care for ourselves and others? And caring for ourselves is so important. That's why mindfulness, I love the name of your initiative, Mindful Marketplace. You know, the whole movement of mindfulness, bringing awareness to each moment, each breath, in gratitude, you know, that we can be present and care for ourselves and others in compassion. I think that's where I stand. That's why I really like what you're doing.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. It means a lot coming from you. And, you know, when we talk about mindfulness on this show, there, you know, we definitely, sometimes there's some confusion. Sometimes people think that what I'm talking about on this show is going to be, you know, yoga pants and, you know, how to meditate. And, you know, I think a lot of times people are a little confused by the title. Right. And I personally love all that stuff. I strive to be more consistent in my own mindfulness practice. But what the Mindful Marketplace is really about and what it really means is, you know, you kind of have to think about it in the terms of what is the opposite of mindful. And the opposite of mindful is mindless. And there seems to be a lot of ways that that people are going about doing business, going about existing in our political economy that isn't really thinking about the big picture, isn't really thinking long-term, isn't necessarily thinking about future generations, and is just sort of mindlessly accepting the status quo as it is, rather than actually being mindful about how we operate and how we do our business and how we, because what you said, what we do is going to affect the future. You know, I think about the Stoic, you know, the dichotomy of control, they call it, where, you know, in the Serenity Prayer, it's, you know, God, give me the strength to see what I can control and to let go of what I cannot, and the wisdom to know the difference. And so I think that a lot of it comes down to that, of being able to say, you know what, I can't solve every problem in the world, but there is something I can do. And the future is not determined already, but there are things that what I do today is going to affect the world around me tomorrow. You know, I'm curious, when you think about that dichotomy between mindless and mindful, what are some of the ways that you've written about, whether it's more recently or things that come to your mind from your books, about how as a business community and as a society, we could be living in a more mindful way and less of a mindless one?
Yes, yes. You know, people are so busy and preoccupied. So many people just with survival, and then other people with making a few more million or billion dollars, which can also be mindless. I've been focusing the last several years on six areas of transformation, and then I've added a seventh one. And those six are, the first one is ecological regeneration. You know, we've got to be mindful that we are part of the earth. We're not separate from the earth. We humans, we're animals. We have to have air and water and soil and plants to live and prosper. So ecological regeneration. Second is gender equality. You know, we've got to make sure that women have full voice and power and in decision making at every level. And the third is socioeconomic justice. You know, that we can create a world where not just the wealthy and powerful are happy, but everyone can have a life that is adequate and full, and they can realize their full potential. The next area is participatory governance. How do we get every voice involved in our governing at every level, from the town, the city, the county, state, the nation, the world? So how do we get participation back into governance? Because so much of governance now is controlled by corporations and the wealthy, as they control media, as they try to control the elections, as they try to control the Supreme Court. And then the next area is cultural tolerance. How are we mindful that every human being, regardless of race or creed or ethnicity, is a brother and sister, a fellow sister earthling, part of this beautiful planet. And then the sixth area is promoting peace and nonviolence. And now we're all very aware now with what's going on, again, with Israel and Palestine. How do we create a whole new way of being where we don't fall back into a violence, but we can be peaceful beings? And then I've had a seventh area, which I think you'll be interested in, and I haven't been writing about it as much. I'm starting now to write about it. A seventh area that we need regulations on artificial general intelligence so that it doesn't get out of hand. I mean, AI can be very helpful, but it could also cause some real problems and issues, not only taking jobs from people, but more dangerous issues with the internet and our systems. And then also bioengineering. We need regulations on bioengineering. And again, a lot of great potential there that as we manipulate DNA, but we don't want it to get out of hand, like with pandemics, which may have happened. We're not absolutely certain how the last pandemic started. And then, so that's the new area that I've added.
Yeah, that sounds pretty comprehensive. And I think that each one of those is really important. And one thing that I really love about your work, and I think it'd be fun if we can, in part two of this episode, if we can dig into a couple of those. But one thing that I really love about your work is, you know, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about you having not lost hope, because there does seem to be a general, it does feel like we're kind of in this culture of resignation, that the way things are is just the way they have to be, and that there's really no other way to do them. And it strikes me as having a bit of a lack of imagination. You know, even in the movies that we have and the music that we have, it's all, you know, reboots and repeats and, you know, revising things that are kind of nostalgic rather than looking to the future to actually be imaginative and creative in that future. It feels like it's easier for us to imagine terraforming Mars than to us, you know, doing business a different way or doing our economy a different way, right? And that's something that I think is really, really prevalent in your work, is that ability to actually imagine a better future for us all. Is there, you know, and I know you're not just limited to writing about policy. You also write about this in the realm of poetry as well.
Exactly. Yeah, poetry. It just sort of blows out sometimes. Sometimes the prose is more conceptual, and I try to be rational and clear. And another time, poetry breaks through to just express the heart and the voice. So I enjoy both of those voices of the rational and the intuitive, and the prose and the poetry. And that's why I have my poems are published as well as my prose. And so, yeah, and then the mindful practices you were mentioning, that they're very important to me as well. You mentioned they're important to you, and even though that's not the focus of the mindful marketplace, but, you know, I do my morning practice of mindful meditation, and then throughout the day I'm aware of my breathing in and breathing out in gratitude, awareness, and kindness, And that even at night when I wake up, you know, I focus on my breathing, my awareness. And I find it helps keep me hopeful. You know, as you say, it's so easy to say, oh my, you know, that things are not going to get better, you know, with our politics is so divided. We have these nuclear weapons that are unregulated. And climate change is, you know, causing the massive fires and megastorms and floods around the world. And so it is a wake-up time. But when you wake up, you can either decide to be in despair or to do what you can do. And so that's, I think, as you said, what I'm trying to do, what you're trying to do. And I think that's it.
Yeah, what you're saying reminds me a little bit of that James Baldwin quote where he says, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed unless it is faced. And I think that that's obviously true in the bigger picture, in the world and in civilization and in the economy. But I also think that, you know, and I think you might agree that it's true within ourselves as well. You know, we sometimes when we feel like there's so much that we out there that we can't change and we can't change the world, sometimes we got to start by changing ourselves. Recently, you wrote a blog post about mindfulness and gratitude. How important is gratitude to you in this journey?
Oh my, yes, very, very important. You know, because I get depressed, I fall into despair, and I fall into worry that blocks me and stops me, and like everybody, but I'm just like everybody. So if I just stop and start listing what I'm grateful for, you know, for my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my home, my health, it's transforming. You know, sometimes I write it out, type it out. Sometimes I just speak it out. And it's amazing how just to acknowledge what we're grateful for can change our heart and mind and bring back our motivation, bring back our imagination and our action. So I'm glad you brought up gratitude. I'm very grateful for gratitude. Indeed.
Well, I think you have to be, you know, and I think it's hugely important if you are going to accomplish anything in the world, or even if you're just going to have happiness and you're just going to enjoy your life. I don't think that really, you know, if you want to be grateful for your life, and you don't have to be, but I think it's good to be grateful for your life. And I think that means being grateful for all of it, even the stuff that you feel like is hard, even the stuff that you feel like is difficult in whatever given moment that you happen to have. We are going to continue this conversation in part two. So make sure to tune back in next week with Robertson Work. And in part two, we're really going to dive in deeper on some of these economic models that you've learned about and written about, how they apply to society, but even more specifically, how they can apply to our actual businesses to create a more sustainable, long-lasting, risk-averse business environment for individual businesses and for business the business environment at large. So definitely tune into that episode here next week here on Biz Radio US. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Buzzsprout, all the other platforms. And make sure to listen to the other excellent hosts here on bizradio.us. And until next time, take care of yourself and take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.